Welcome to Starfleet Universe on Call. I'm Paul France, owner of France Games. I run Assembly Online, Fed.com Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a stream live every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us at Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. You can find the link over on the sfuoncall.com website. And so just join the SFU On Call stream voice channel on that Discord server, and you'll be able to listen and join in on the discussion. Of course, you can also go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call to join us there. You can join the chat over there. And of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, you can follow the podcasting account at SFU On Call. Or my personal account, which is Paul Franz. That's P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. There's no T in that. And of course, there is Franz Games. My business account, F-R-N-Z-G-M-E-S. So again, there's no T in that. And of course, there's Blue Sky. And if you want to go to Blue Sky, you can go follow the podcasting account, sfuoncall.bsky.social. Or my personal / business account, which is franzgames.com. Of course, this lovely stream gets recorded and is available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. From the news of A to B this week, not much happened this week or last week. A lot due to illnesses, Steve Cole being laid off, Gene being attacked by a goat, and that's not a laughing matter. She actually took a picture of her leg, and it got roughed up pretty hard by the goat. I forget why she was near a goat, probably some farm someplace. But anyway, moving on forward, found on the online store for this week, we had the F&E counter sheet number 3. That is Planet Operations. It's only $7.95. The new Planet Operations sheet, it's for 2017, includes 200 counters, up from 216 counters. Sorry, forgive me, it's 280 counters. I misread that. Up from 216, minor shipyards now have large, bold description of the ship type produced. New ground-based battalion counters are provided for half-flotilla gunboat marks. And a few extra counters were added, including a Raman heavy cloak decoy and a Federation F-101 squadron. Many of the previous counters have also improved graphics. So they look much nicer with the new counter sheet. So if you want to upgrade your planetary operations, F&E, that you currently have, that's one way of doing it. And of course, if you just want more counters, have fun. Moving on and forward, we had SFB Line tournaments. We have, of course, the Sapphire 19 tournament. And the bad news is the signups are really close this time. We had it open up for a moment because of one of the people, Tyler, got busy and decided to withdraw from the tournament, and that's fine. We got a new person to join us. I forget. Who? to be honest. But anyway, doesn't matter. We've got a tree set up. I did, through pure chance, things actually turned out pretty well. I only had to adjust things just a minor bit to get the tree so that we don't have any civil wars, because there's 4 Klingons in this one. In the first round, at least that's one. That's at least the possibility of civil wars, so I just moved 2 of the matchups. The matchups were all the same. I just changed 2 of the matchups so that it is, and purely by random, this is purely by random. There were no originally civil wars when it comes to randomness. So I was fortunate in that. Praise God. Well, that's lucky is how guy remains, is just being anonymous, I will be setting up actually on the website This weekend, I only posted up on the discussion board. I'll post that up there so people can then, for those people who have started the games, I got and sent out an email reminding people that there are only 3 weeks before the deadline to get this first round completed. And I'll be bugging you a lot as that third week comes into view. The end of the third week comes into view. When it comes to Starfleet Warlord this week, not much happened. We had late turns because I was out and about. Well, out and about, I was running a retreat called the Corsia Weekend, and I was, so I was quite busy. So there was no way I was going to run the turns. And I already told them ahead of time. Well, shortly ahead of time. But that so nothing happened there. When it comes to other Starfleet Warlord games, they've been running pretty smoothly. I had a minor issue with Daiho 59. They're due this weekend, so we'll continue on. I will be sending out emails on Friday to remind people to get their turns in on time. And hopefully we will get a little more, because I know it seems like some people need that reminder that hey, your orders for this turn or this week. And it comes to the library report, not much happened there. Because sorry, I was busy. So I was able, I know I got some ships from Frank that are sitting lying in wait for me. I've got the emails that have them. I just had to sit down and process them. I will hopefully be able to do that sometime next week. I'm not gonna do it. I might do it this weekend, most probably I'll do it this next week sometime. So with that is the news for this week. It's me, yes, the one and only Paul France, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we have, of course, me. I am back. I'm back from yonder retreat.
Over there. Over
Yes.
that there away. How
Exactly.
was the retreat?
It was
Was it good?
wonderful. It was really good. I'm not saying I enjoyed it because I helped run it. So, but it was great. Had a good time and so forth. So, I'm hoping that it touched other people's hearts. I know it touched mine, and got people closer to God, which was the part of the goal of it, is to get people closer to God. One of the first topic I want to actually talk about actually is, give me, this would be this one. And that is, I actually want to just quickly discuss the tournament tree. Yeah, I'm sure that over there is showing it's a little delayed. But anyway, let me just, don't mind me. I'm gonna do something real quick just because, okay. It is just a, boy, that's delayed. Wow. Sorry.
What's delayed?
Twitch. I'm not
Oh,
sure. I'm
okay.
not sure. I mean, it's like a good minute or two delay
Super
between,
lag.
Well, yeah, I'm not used to it streaming and then taking so long to get back to me. But okay, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Well, maybe somebody got annoyed when their bot farm just got busted in New York.
That's possible.
Did you
Well,
hear about that?
you mean the SMS bot farm? Yeah, I heard about that one.
Yeah.
I saw some pictures of the farm. Wow, that's a lot of antenna.
Yep. That's some bad actor stuff there. But that's so any rate, you were saying.
On. Sorry, damn. Reminder, don't try to breathe in the water. Doesn't work good. Okay, so through the mercy of God and His grace, For the most part, this is completely random. The only two things, the only thing I did, and as I mentioned in the news portion, only switched two of the matchups where the matchup lied. Because the one thing I wanted to do was to make sure that the second round, it was not possible to have the Klingons, a Klingon Civil War.
Yeah, you always want to avoid that.
Yeah, as the possibility, agreed. Especially given, it's just if you can avoid it, that's great. If you can't avoid it, that's fine too. You know, I only had.
Well, as far as the Klingons are concerned, it's also great because they like to fight everybody. So there you go.
True. Yeah. I swapped two of them, and that did it. As I said, I'm fortunate, and I said through God's good grace, that at the start there were no civil wars, there weren't even close civil wars. If you notice here on the screen, I'm not sure if you're looking at Doug or not.
No, not tonight. Okay, I have a very limited connection.
Yeah, understood. The RKR and the RKE, the Romulan KR and the Romulan KE. That can possibly, if both of them win their games, that can come up with a quote unquote civil war. It's not
okay.
In tournament aspects, it's not considered a civil war. It's not. Just like the LDR versus Liren is not considered a civil war. But as the first round, I like to avoid that. I did not have anything to say about it. It's just the way it fell. None of the first round matchups I had to adjust and say, okay, re-roll. Because I did everything.
Well,
I did everything.
If you're the tournament director, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then just say I wave my magic wand as the tournament director and I'm going to shuffle each round.
Right. Oh,
okay. To avoid civil wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And definitely first round, definitely. And second round, I think that's completely a good idea. But
I think it should be something where, like, shuffle it if you have to avoid it until you get to, like, the literal final if you can.
Mm-hmm.
But it would also be something that I would maybe say is let people know you're going to do that ahead of time. So
yeah, well,
nobody gets all hissy fitty about it.
Yeah. But obviously, on the semifinals, there can be a civil war. Unavoidable. When you have four Klingons, it's unavoidable.
Yeah.
For our 16.
But on the other hand, you know, if you can avoid it, you can avoid it. No. Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And actually, the players should be okay with that.
And for the most part, you know, when it comes to, we had two LDRs and a Liren. So, you know, two on the in the semifinals, we might have an LDR versus Liren on the bottom side of the tree, which is whatever. And on the top side, we can have an ISC civil war. On the semifinals, because that is all possible. And with a small 16 player tournament, that's what you get. But that's still, I think that's pretty good. And that's it. Fortunately, you know, the actual matchups themselves, I did not have to change at all. Putting it out there. We have, of course, the Gorn versus the ISC, which should be quite interesting. Because the ISC itself is, of course, it's plasma. Kind of. It's plasma light in my mind. Because, yes, it has the G-Torps and has the F-Torps. But it has that PPD, which is its primary, you know. So it was actually a direct fire versus a plasma weapon. Then we have the Wax, which has two Hellbores and two Drone Racks. That's going to be versus a Klingon. So that's going to be a pretty good matchup right there. Nice, lots of drones flying. And of course, Wax is going to be very fast, so it can go running around the board. Though, of course, we have the Hellbores on that thing, so it could definitely slow slow it down a little bit in that case. We got the Whippus with two phaser ones that set.
It could be wax speed on, wax speed off. You're welcome.
Thank you. Got the Whippus versus LDR. So basically, you know, Wynn versus LDR, which is a good matchup. You know, you got drone race, though it is the Klingon configuration, as people know. Known it as, which is two phaser ones, versus the Zinni configuration is called that. If you have the two B racks in the option mount, so you have four B racks. That's the Zinni one. And there's other ones you can do. In theory, you can do. You actually can have. The ad racks are available. Those option mounts can be phaser ones, ad rack, or a drone rack. So it's going to be pretty good. Then we have the direct fire Klingon versus the ISC, which is kind of partial direct fire, partial plasma right there. So that's going to be a pretty good matchup. And then we have the Neo-Tholian, or Yakbo, whatever, I'm not sure, whatever. Versus Admiral Dizzy, which is Dave Zimbars. Dave Zimbars in the Zinni, that's his ship. He's been flying that for a long time. So it's going to be Neo-Tholian versus Zinni, and we've got the LDR versus the Klingon, which actually I read in the discussion board, which is it's going to be Ted Fay versus Bill Scheller. And unfortunately, as Ted Fay mentioned, Bill Scheller is the only person he has yet to defeat. Again, but you know, outside of the actual players, again, the match is going to be a nice matchup with, you know, LDR versus drone race. You got the Madman in the Liren versus Hardcore in the RKR. So the Romulan KR said that one, in theory, I think the Romulan has a leg up on the Liren, you know, because when you launch plasma, it can go right through the ESG without any damage. So the only way that the Liren can use the ESG is going to be for ramming, which means it has to get close and it has to go through the plasma, which means probably it's going to be a not plasma duel, but definitely he's going to be waiting for the plasmas at the beginning of it to fly away from them, and then hold those ESGs until the opportune moment where the RKR doesn't have that many plasmas, and then close, and then ram, and hopefully have some disruptors available to fire at them at the same time. In theory, you could just use the ESGs and phasers for that period of time, and maybe next turn fire some disruptors. And last and not least is Metal Dog versus Cadet Stimpy. Now, my understanding, which I didn't even know this, and I'm being honest, I when he mentioned it, I went, yeah, I think you might be right. Which is, Justin was mentioning that he said, you know, wow, I got Stimpy in round one, like the only player in this tourney that has my number, like we have only played each other 10,000 times, lol, okay. Then I said this is completely random, you know, and it happens to be that those two were the last two. Sorry.
And there you go.
It is what it is. And so it's going to be RKE versus the Klingon. That's going to be a tougher one for the RKE. Ooh. Obviously, the benefit the RKE has is it does have cloaking. It can cloak and it can actually move at a decent rate. I think, is that one of the better ones or one of the worst ones? I forget.
What's that? What?
The RKE versus the RKR or the RF RFH, the Firehawk KR or King Eagle.
I have no idea on the rock, paper, scissors stuff.
Well, not the rock, paper, scissors. I'm thinking about which one has the best cloaking in that it had the best speed
Oh.
while cloaked. I forget.
No idea.
Yeah,
I would have to look at them.
I have to look at them again because I know that there was known to be a one that has kind of a better, basically speed while cloaked was the big thing. So yeah, basically more power available while cloaked. So should be interesting to see how it plays off. I didn't, and as I said, I did not set that match up at all. So, so this should be an interesting tournament. It should be an interesting tournament. We already got, I know Ted Fay and Bill Scheller were setting up their game. I got some emails from them going back and forth, which is good. Oh yeah, then which is a reminder. Anyone who's listening to that as part of the tournament, a reminder, which is please remember to CC me on all emails so I know that you guys are communicating, and most importantly, I know you guys are communicating and how things are going when it comes to setting up their matchups, your scheduling your times, because of if I hear nothing, I'm thinking that there is no communication occurring. Even if there is communication occurring, how do I don't know what I don't know. So please, on my email that I send out, I will be sending out a reminder about that, and also remind people that in 3 weeks, i.e., I'm giving them till Sunday of in 3 weeks, so that's actually 3 weeks and 4 days is the deadline for the first round. Usually, Steve Patrick gives people a more time for the first round, and then it should be a 2 weeks turnaround for the rest of them. I'm hoping to keep up that pace. Because I think that would be great if we can keep that pace up. I will do my best to bug people like the dog. So please, people, keep up with that. Most of these people, I know most of these people that are in the tournament. Hardcore Greg as in Greg Dykhouse. Kingzilla is Seth Szymanski. Mad Jack Taylor, Malice. I know Malice. 1701, and if it's Spartan, it's Greg Clark, Jeff Clark. Jeff Clark, forgive me. Hardcore is Carl Magnus. Now, one that I don't know that is listed here is Hitmossen. It's the call sign, and I had to look at it. Hopefully,
Awesome.
Himosan. So, hopefully, and that's going. They're going against Pekia is the call sign, which is actually Peter Pekia.
Eight, yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who follow Pete on Facebook, he's a DJ for a small local radio station. And also, he's part of a band, so which is cool. This reminds me of when I first started working way back when, way back, way, way, way back when.
When was that?
There was actually a person, Don. I forget his last name.
Did
His
they
name.
actually number the years back then?
Yes, they actually had years back. No, they numbered the years back then. So that was the early 90s. And actually, he was, he's a software developer, and also he had his own band, which was always interesting. Because to me, the crazy thing of having your own band is, okay, where do you play? Because, yeah, in theory, when it comes to bands, you can actually just play for yourself and practice together and just have fun. I think most people, one of the reasons why they want to play in front of people, even if it's like a local bar, Some place, a venue that's a small, so. Hoping on that one. But, as I said, overall, I mean, the tournament looks like it's gonna be a nice tournament. Obviously, the one thing that actually Jeff Clark is starting the 500 BPV tournament. I forget which one. Don't mind. Actually, hold on. Let me do this first. Don't mind me, because I'm going to do this first, which is I'm going to switch the camera so you don't see my desktop. In theory, you should not see it. Dun, dun, dun. And that would be Comcast. Which is CC everybody. Like to thank everyone for participating. Oh yeah, this is one where he actually sent out it. Oh, that'd be cool. Greg said he is planning to advertise the second tournament on Facebook a bit, and which my understanding is that he kind of has via a survey right there on Facebook. And also like to prepare for and do a podcast episode with me, possibly featuring Dana and Frank, as in Frank LeMay, and that'd be
Nice.
Dana Madsen. I would love to have them on. Actually, let me double check, because Frank, Jeff, thanks for on the podcast. I'm not actually insightful in my games. I blow things up. I get blown up, such is life. How we go blowing up shit? I do not keep track of. I'm afraid I've already forgotten the details of all my games, and the saves have been deleted. I'm able to play in the next tournament as my campaign AB2 is underway now. So, sorry. Frankie will not. Okay, da, da, da. Don't mind me. There, okay, I just saw one email real quick, which I wanted to look at. Okay, maybe Dana can come on board and just talk about it. Obviously, we already went through the survey, which Jeff did send out. Some players, Jeff just mentioned that some players have signed up but could not finish due to real life. And or play partway through and had to step away, like Justin was one of those. His role is strongly considered a captain and XO model, so that a fleet has at least two people who had input into the fleet's construction and strategy, and can command the fleet either simultaneously with both players or independently. I prefer independently, just because of I've already talked about this before, which is. It's bad enough, it's hard enough, sorry, not bad enough. It's hard enough to actually schedule two people, and then we start adding more people, like three people or four people. That gets really difficult. And I'm not sure if people would agree if it's like one against two, and which could be fine because if they're all the two of them are all on the same side, and it just means it's going to be heavy. Harder coordination for the side that has two players. If they're both running ships. So obviously makes the, in theory, and as in theory, it can make the game go faster because the other side can actually get their EAs completed a little more quickly. Hopefully movement can be done a little more quickly. That kind of thing, though, obviously things like drones. Who moves the drones? It has to be the person who owns those drones, because the client doesn't let you do it otherwise at the moment. I do have in the client what I call a team feature. I'm not sure if I ever completed it or not, because the team feature actually and did allow that multiple people to move anybody in that team their ships for that team. That was the idea, and also the idea was I think the EAs could be completed by anybody, though that always is more difficult. But I'd have to check to see what I how I'm been implement that, which I said has been so long ago I forgot what I did when it comes to that team feature. I know that I was adding the team feature. I'm not sure if I completed it.
Did you make it super simple where you could just everything is shared? Or did you do something much more complex?
No, I think the idea was that it's pretty much everything was shared, i.e. If you want to, you can see the information about that person's ship. That's actually more difficult. Tough part is obviously EA, where you have multiple people. Again, I'd have to look. I know. I'm pretty sure I allowed anybody on the same team to actually move the other ships. But as I said, I'd have to double check. And if I didn't complete it, it's one thing. If we actually go forward with the Captain XO model for this tournament, it'd be something that I could work on to improve fleet battles. Because I'm not sure how many people actually have played fleet battles where you have one side which is made up of multiple people, and the other side is made up of multiple people too. But, you know, that kind of thing.
Not recently.
Yeah, well, definitely me not recently. But the obviously, when it comes to an actual board, it's really pretty quite simple when it comes to, okay, can you move that? Can you move my ship? Can you move that drone and so forth, or collection of drones? Because there's over your part of the board. Kind of a physicality, you know, he might be on the left, large, the far left, and the other guy's on the far right, you know, that kind of thing. Whatever. So anyway, he posted up the on the email, sent out the original rules. And actually, I'm truly, truly interested in. When it comes to this tournament, when it comes to the 500 BPV tournament, is are we going to stick with the EW model?
That you mean for the multiplayers?
Mm-hmm.
Multi-ship, the fleet battles?
Yeah, multi-ship, the 500 BPV tournament. Yeah, where we actually had, you could have scouts.
It's up to your guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, agreed.
I would totally recommend against it personally.
Understood.
Just the whole, it's just like one extra complexity level on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you were playing in a club environment at home, you know, on a weekend, maybe, but I don't know, man. It's like, it's just one of those things that just makes me go, no.
Doug, I understand them. Actually, we had this discussion before where basically...
lots of times.
Yeah. especially the last time when I was sitting there going through the survey with everybody, which, as I said, I'm really curious to find out what the answers are. And hopefully Jeff can get the 25 answers that he wants because of... The SurveyMonkey allows up to 25 answers for free, which is actually fine for Starfleet Warlord stuff because I don't have that many players. I don't, I have maybe 20 or 30 that could possibly join. Most of the players that are active are like the patent, like 15 to. Like 15, maybe 20 players that are currently active. There's actually a couple of players I noticed that when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, we have two kinds of games. We have the diehard model, which is mainly meant for players that are very, they're veterans. They've been playing it for years, if not decades.
Mm-hmm.
And they know all the rules and so forth, how everything goes together, and they want to play that, which is the most challenging type of game. And then we have the standard It's called the standard game, which is the game that was it was originally designed for. There are other kinds of games, like there's a historical game. The problem with the historical game, I've tried to run it twice, and this is way back. This is before we lost somewhere around 3 to 5 people to death. Dang. Problem is I have an older crowd that I'm dealing with
now. Yeah, we're getting old.
Yep. And people would not send out their turns. And the problem is for the historical game, it relies on, because it's historical and you have the historical alignments, i.e. you have teams of like Gorn and Federation and where you play that empire. Normally in Starfleet Warlord, you don't play an empire. You buy that empire ships. The background of Starfleet Warlord is after, you know, we're in like the year Y200 is what we're in. But we're in the greater Menagerie Cloud. That's where all these resources are. And so they send corporations. And then the way people, they purchase ships and they get delivered via warp gate. They're delivered from the, you know, the Milky Way galaxy up to the greater
Magellanic.
Thank you. Cloud. You're welcome. And at that point, we do have years where like the latest ones are not available. So it kind of, you know, the idea there is just to have it so that you limit the number of ships and what ships are available, which is, makes it more interesting of a game. But, you know, you can have up to 3 primary races, and those you don't get, if you don't have that one of those primary races selected, you know, if you buy a ship that's not part of the primaries, you have an actual penalty for that, cost you more to buy that ship. And also, if you buy multiple ships of the same type, you have a penalty, like a 10% penalty for if you buy one ship and then the next second ship, you have like 20% penalty from the base cost and so forth. So that there are certain events that occur, and also certain sector specials, which you can possibly gain, that actually remove that penalty. I think actually definitely the events, I'm not sure about the sector specials. I'd have to check the sector specials, because to be honest, I've not memorized the sector specials. But so, you know, it's a cool game. The great thing about the Starfleet Warlord itself is just that it's asynchronous. You know, you submit your orders, and then everyone gets their turn. All their turns run at the same time. And I really, really would like to automate the whole process. In theory, there are certain parts that I can automate. Some of it I think I have to work on the automation portion, just because of, I'm not sure if I got all, I'm pretty sure I got all the UI elements. I'm just not sure what I decided for the answers. Because what happens is it was designed to be run by hand. So there's prompts that happen. And to make an automated system, I had to develop, I'd take every single response that and create a function, which then for the UI, it brings up that actual UI. For the actual, that same program, which is compiled and has those functions, it has a different set of functions, which are for automated responses, i.e. if you know, you have an answer yes or no in the prompt, it automates it. So, okay, it's always no, or it's always yes, that kind of thing. And there's certain ones, which is like payment. I slack a little bit on payment and requiring the people to make sure that they don't go into negative in their accounts. I'm not sure if I want to keep that up or not for the automated process. My guess, it's like, no, you have to be, it will stop immediately. And fail. So, and those, I'm not sure if I can actually return I'm pretty sure I can have it so it returns that. Now, the one thing I was going to be looking into when it comes to Starfleet Warlord and the engine was the if I did a quick search on this, which is what is the best AI for converting Clipper, which is what it was written in, to like Java, which is the programming language I know very well. Though I think sometimes I think the better one would might be Perl because of some of the goofiness that it does, but probably Java is more familiar. Because the big thing about Clipper, the biggest issue is that unlike modern programming language, Clipper was designed to be written, driven off of D, like DBase. So, as a language, variables that are variables, as in within the context of the program itself, and actual columns or fields of a record in the database, they're intertwined. So you almost have to, if you, the easiest way to do that would actually would be kind of wrapping those results. You have a function call which it's called escape. What's the value of this variable? And then know via the context of the program itself, okay, is that field a actual field of a database record, or is that field a field of the program? That's the craziness of Clipper, which it worked, that's what it was written in. So fortunately, you can still do that. You still program it, you still can compile it. Actually can compile it into like binary, which is what I do. Jeez. I forgot what the program's called. Harbor, that's it, Harbor. And it's open source, so I can compile it for multiple OSs. I've compiled one for Windows, compiled one for Mac, even compiled one for FreeBSD. Because that was the plan, is to have it so I compile in FreeBSD and have it on a server which is running FreeBSD. Because as my servers, I avoid Linux like the plague. Mainly, I avoid Linux because everybody else is using Linux. And also, I know and I really love FreeBSD for when it comes to servers. I think it's a better overall OS for that kind of thing. But again, that's me.
Nobody's judging you. It's okay.
Okay, cool. I'm just looking email real fast, which actually Bill Scheller said, let's do basically Ted Faye and Bill are going to get together Monday night at 6 Central. So for just to let you know, for anybody who is interested in watching Bill Scheller, who's a multi-rated ace, and Ted Faye, which I think he's also a multi-rated ace at this point, play. And that's going to be 6 p.m. Central Time. So that's 7 p.m. Eastern Time or 4 o'clock Pacific Time. Don't get me on UTC or go for London, GMT or whatever. No, I'm not doing that. Y'all, I hate to say this, but you have to figure it out yourself. I'm sure. Just like you, just like me, you have your own little time converter. Because
How
there's
does that work out in Hawaiian time?
it's really, really early.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, because I don't remember. Actually, I've never checked to see what the time difference between California, i.e., Pacific time and Hawaiian time is. And
a
one
bit.
thing, the one thing I don't know either is, do does in Hawaii do they actually?
Yes, they have time there.
Yeah, I wish time would stop. When you're in Hawaii, that'd be cool. Anyway, the big thing, my question was going to be, which is, I'm not sure if they have daylight saving time or not.
Oh, I don't think so. I doubt it. If they do, sure, good for them. But I sincerely doubt it because they're not part of the contiguous.
Right, right. But even some
there's
of
no reason for them to have it.
Understood, but there's some of them are a part of the contiguous and are really weird. I think it's Illinois that has half this. Oh, no, it's Indiana. Indiana, that was it. In Indiana, part of it is daylight saving time. Some part of it's not. Really weird.
I think one of the Southwest states also just said to hell with it and threw it out completely.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Nevada, maybe?
That wouldn't surprise me.
If it was Arizona or Nevada.
I'd have to look that up. But anyway.
Somebody down in it, or New Mexico, but mm-hmm. one of those three states just said to heck with it all. We're not doing it anymore. Bye-byes to the whole concept.
I would like to get rid of that myself because... I think
it would be a winning presidential platform. So, what's your platform, Mr. Cthulhu? I will get rid of daylight savings time while I'm eating every single soul in your country. Awesome! You have my vote, sir. You know, meanwhile, you could have, both candidates for the other red and blue going... Oh, yeah, well, you know, world peace and prosperity for everybody. What about daylight saving time? Well, cough. We couldn't possibly end that. Yeah, you're out of here. Cthulhu's in. Oddly enough, it's one that nobody ever really, does. They only talk about it when it comes down to, the few days or week or so before.
Yeah, that's when it comes in.
And it's it's actually documented to be a cause of death for people. Like some people get so stressed out by the time change that it kicks over the heart attack thing. There's actually, I think statistically more heart attacks right around that time.
Yep. After the change in time. Yeah.
And it's and why did we do it? It's I know why we did it. Everybody knows. You can look it up on Mr. Google or any other search engine on our friend Mr. Internet.
Or just go to Wikipedia.
And find out why. And it's at the time, not a horrible reason for it. But on the other hand, it should have been immediately gotten rid of.
Yeah.
You know, after the momentary need mm-hmm. passed. But we never have. I mean, it's and it's a greed thing. So, some corporate people think they can make an extra few pennies by forcing everybody into the office. That extra bit of time. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. And inertia too. I mean,
I think it's more of
income tax, World War I. We're only going to have that just for this little bit of emergency time. And we're still have that 100 plus years later.
Oh, understood. Understood. Now, the one quick, actually, the other topic that I was going to talk about, and I'm not sure how much interest there is for it. Cause obviously it's a me thing. I'll honestly mm-hmm. say it's a me thing. And that is there a way to better run the tournaments? Meaning in tools that can be developed or things that can be done to improve the management of it, the making sure that people get their turns in on time. They're not turns in on time. I'm thinking warlords, forgive me.
Matches to get their matches together.
Matches done on time, you know. And, you know, and so, you know, obviously one of the things I was thinking is basically automate the whole sending out of emails, reminding people, okay, here's your opponent for the next round.
No.
No?
Not too much. I mean, I understand where you're coming from with, like, having, like, the, can we automate this? Can we automate that? Can we add this other thing to do this other thing the other way? But at the end of the day, it is what it is as far as the nature of how it works, because you have the whole convenience of the internet plus the convenience of the two players getting together. It would take away, you take away that part, it's not the same.
Let's back up for a moment. And that, I think you might be misunderstanding something here. And what you seem to be saying is that we shouldn't put any time limits on the tournament rounds. Am I
not quite? Okay. No. I'm saying, okay, as far as like automating stuff, I kind of doubt it. I mean, I doubt that would actually make a difference with people, because you're pretty good on the putting out your deadlines and everything. And the thing is, it's a more casual experience than, say, going to a face-to-face event where you've dedicated your time for the weekend. The only thing I could see would be maybe if you said, okay, it's an online event, but everybody has to show up at the same time. And that takes away from the nature of the casual two people scheduling their time to get together and play over the course of a few weeks kind of thing. Like, for instance, if we had a tournament at Gamers of Winter, which, by the way, we are scheduled for, we had the contract and all that, at the same venue, I might add. And yes, we could have an event like this at that if people would come out for it. But we've been trying to get people to come out for it for years, and they just, you know, it's rare that an extra SFB player or two will come out. But you would be dedicating that time. Like, you know, if you had 16 players come out on Saturday of a weekend event, even if it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're there. They've set that time aside. But in this kind of event, with the online casual scheduling, you're simply committing to a deadline. And that deadline is, okay, we have to have our game done in 2 weeks. And, you know, here's my matchup. I'm talking to so-and-so. We schedule our time, whatever time that is, we're going to play. You know, automating, telling them that much more, that extra time or two, I honestly don't think that would make that much of a difference. Because it's ultimately just up to your players to still talk to each other and schedule their specific times that they can play. If you could automate, you know, seeking weapons for a 500 point flight, that would probably help. But I think you probably have it kind of close to maxed out as far as what you need to do to have the thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, don't put on yourself or try to work around an extra thing that you can do that makes up for whether or not other people are prompt and good at coordinating with each other. If that makes sense. I mean, you can't force Joe X to show up for his game. You can't force, you know, Johnny Y and Tommy B to talk to each other in a prompt and good manner. That's up to them. And most of them are good at that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's only when, you know, you get somebody that doesn't care that much, or you get somebody who has a life issue outside of it that basically cuts into it, that hurts. And that, because of this, the nature of the handful, having handfuls of players versus like thousands running to play, it makes that part that much more difficult, because you can't just say, okay, John couldn't make it, he had a life issue, so we've got like five other people lined up over here as alternates anymore to get into the 16 player thing. It's you generally don't have that. You're good to fill up. So short answer, I don't see any particular automation thing other than if something saves you personally some effort.
Right, which is,
you know,
which is the point. Basically, is to make it easier for me to run the tournament.
Oh, well, in that case, I don't know. What the heck is the hardest thing you have to do?
Keep track of people.
I mean, say that again?
Keep track of people, make sure they get their games done.
You know how to set up a spreadsheet, don't you?
Yeah.
Spreadsheets in space. Oh, wait, that's Eve. So.
That is true.
Yeah. Did you get all your free stuff, by the way?
Did you send me any more than the two contracts?
No. Okay. No, they had an event this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When we're done, log on and just, I think it might let you do it retroactively. Today's the last day, by the way.
Okay.
Today was day 10. So if you didn't get like all your stuff along the way, log in for like 5 seconds when we're done,
mm-hmm.
and just hit accept on your character on the main login thing.
Uh-oh.
That's where the stuff is at.
I see.
Because even if you don't get all the stuff, there's still like two big chunks of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, training points. Two big chunks of training points.
That's always useful. Get through the training a little bit quicker.
Even if you get nothing else out of it, log in tonight and get that, because it's going to be gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. We'll do.
It's like six figures each. Two of them. So yeah, I mean, if just keeping track of everybody, wait, aren't you like a database engineer guy? Something.
I am a software engineer guy. Yeah,
software engineer guy. But wait, didn't you specifically work on the databasey thing?
No.
No. Okay. If you can make a database that emails everybody, that would be your only thing.
That's true.
You know, but
that was one of the things I actually was thinking about doing, is creating that automated process for sending out the emails, just to say, okay, guys, here's your opponent, get together with them, play.
Okay, here's a thought.
Yeah.
Instead of doing something that goes through your current application to do that, why don't you just make a separate tournament app, a bracket app? And in that bracket app, you have your user, you have a note for what they're doing. So you can say, this is tournament X, and a note for what they're playing. They're playing Skip Y with this package, or packages to choose from. And their email is blah. And then you can automate that, you can email everybody in one shot from it and show where they're all at in the bracket. So I don't know. That would, but even so, that's just a simple mailing list, really, is what that is. I mean, tiny little database that just says who's in the thing,
mm-hmm.
what their status is. You know, bracket one, bracket two, bracket three, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
Understood. Yeah, that was the one thing I was thinking about, which was, I have to think it through to see if it's possible, which was basically something simple, which would be, okay, if you, okay, say, here's my loss or my win, and the other play, other game on the, you know, that's gonna be the next opponent for them. So, and that opponent has already played their game, so you don't have to wait for their like round one game and round two. When you both have played your game, you'll set out an email saying, "Hey, you guys, here's your opponent." Then that, you know, notification that basically your opponent, that you know, you now have an opponent for round two. And he is, you know, and that lets both the person,
okay,
who
there you go,
completed, and the person who's been waiting for that game to be complete to send out an email and notify them that hey, your next game is ready to go.
I think I can solve your problem.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like what you want is basically a bracket management app that runs the tournament for you.
For the most part, yeah. Obviously, there's certain things I still have to do myself, which is comes at deadlines.
Enter everybody in the first place.
Deadlines, and then, of course, then there's the whole judging thing. As in, you know, any rules, questions, any...
So here's what you would have.
That's it.
Here's what you would have. If we're going to do simple application programming setup thing. The basic thought is what you want is an entry point for each person, that who's who they are, what they're doing, what their email is, and then a landing point where that person goes, you know, the first bracket, like, player one goes in bracket one, player two goes in bracket two, or wherever randomly assigned in the brackets until all the brackets are filled in. But each bracket is a data point. And the status, you'd want a status, you'd want the program to monitor the status
mm-hmm.
for the bracket. So you got two players in bracket one, because it's two player against each other, one on one. They're going to advance to, you know, bracket 1A. You know, they're in like column A, bracket one, whatever. No, I'm sorry. It'd be bracket would be down. It would be essentially be a column, and then their status would be the row. And they would, the two people in the first row, when one is declared a victor, advances to the next column, and is waiting there for the first player from the next bracket to come in and go into that same spot with them. And as soon as they're in that same spot, you generate an email out saying, "Here's your matchup." We could sit down together and put this all on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically kind of a database management thing. And yeah, that could be automated, where basically you have all of your input first, and then you say, you know, go, and nothing happens because nobody's status changes. But once you have things set, each time you get a result, you put the result in that changes the status of the two different players in each bracket, and that advances them one step. And you can set it up so that you have like the traditional like bracket coming from right to left where it's all branched out, and you know who you're going to be fighting if you win each time. Or you could have it randomized so that in the first column, it doesn't change anything until everybody's finished. Mm-hmm. And then it either you advance everybody at once into like either completely randomly generated or into the next bracket in that traditional bracket countdown. You know, this is like something that I would say could be a couple hours of a Saturday sit down sometime. Mm-hmm. If you want. Mm-hmm. I'd be all for that.
Okay.
I've only got a couple weeks here at the moment. And then I have to start paying for the place again. But on the other side, the pension's kicking in.
Cool.
So we can talk about that later.
Yeah, agreed. That's...
I'm still looking for a place, and it's just so frustrating. I've learned about a new form of redlining. I don't like it.
Okay.
So,
we'll talk about it.
But yeah, I could see a setup that you could do that could automate the bracket part for right. you. But I would strongly suggest that doing it as a separate program and not as part of your client.
Yeah, because currently I've got a website set up so that people can report their losses or their wins, and then it will put them into the next round automatically.
Right, and that sounds a lot like what you already what you need. So
and heck, the only thing is it doesn't send out an email if both people are ready for the next bracket. That's the one piece that I would like to add. But the thing is that little piece that's up on the website, it does support actually master tournaments, which no one has done for a while, which is basically the little twist, which is of course that for the next round you play the losing player's ship. So if you were in the Fed, he was in the Klingon. Now the next round you get the Klingon. If you're the Fed and you win, you now play the Klingon. Which is that's an interesting style of tournament.
I like that idea.
And I agree the one possibility that you have, which is instead of a tree, it's more just a round structure, which is basically you get on to the next round and then random selection of who you're going to match up with. So you don't know who you're going to be matched up for the next round.
And here's the thing that you could do is you could set that up so that it is literally randomly generated, and you could also still come in and edit.
Right.
So like if you still want to avoid civil wars as long as possible, then you can come in and do your bracket out. And then each round you look at it and you say, oh yeah, this put Klingon versus Klingon, and I'm not going to let that. I'm going to split these two again to the next two, next one up and next one down. Mm-hmm. So that it's not a mirror match. So that is a possibility. I mean, the other thing is, yes, you could do. You could also have it set up so that it does a traditional branch. So, when players in the first two branches say that they're done, it automatically gets them into the next branch. Mm-hmm. and advances the tournament. Now, that would be a little bit uneven, but it would be a little bit more efficient on time. The only thing is you might have, like, somebody get into that third part of the branch and be waiting for a long time then.
Right.
Agreed. As opposed to if you have your hard deadlines. Well, even so, with the hard deadlines, you could still get them there.
Right. And that I know that those happen.
Because they could advance faster.
Right. Well,
having it automated.
Right. Well, that's the good part about the current website,
But there's a but. There's a big but here. The big but here big butt? Is
I didn't know
if
that.
You do it so if you want to do it so that it is randomized, then you basically really need to make it fair. You need to make it so everybody has to finish the first round before they're all recycled. The winners are all recycled into the next round.
Right. Agreed. And for those of you that are watching the video, what I did was I actually put up the tree from Sapphire 18, the last tournament, and how it looks and how it, you know, it auto, it gets rotated up. And I'm sure if you're really looking at things, you notice there's a Mad Jack 1. The reason was a Mad Jack 1 is because Mad Jack got replaced another player around 1 after losing his game. So with that, you know, the program basically can't handle that there's two players of the same name when it comes to when you report results. It looks for that name so that it knows what game that player was playing. You'll first, you know, check the current round, which might be round 2. Okay, did they play in that? Are they in that round? No, they're not in that round. Okay, go to the next, you know, the previous round, you know, round, if it was round 2, then round 1, and so forth. And if you can't, if you don't see it, they'll say, hey, you're not here. You're not playing in this tournament. So, and actually, if I recall correctly, I'm pretty sure this requires, yeah, to report a return result, it requires you actually have a password. You actually log into your account to report the tournament. This will be changing to Sapphire Star 19 as soon as I post up the tournament up on the website. Because what I post up is I post up a file which defines the round. And actually a number of files. That and there's a configuration file for the tournament. So the server handles the rest. So anyhow, with that, I think we will wrap it up for this evening. Had a wonderful chatting with you, Doug. Actually,
he's mine. Yeah, I'll be here for a few minutes when we're done then too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't mind.
Okay. Well, you have a good night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you for being here. Okay. And so with that, had a nice little chat about the tournament tree and what it looks like. Hoping people complete their games quickly. Hoping they'll get them in possibly even this weekend. That's why I'm gonna see if I can get out the emails before this actual weekend. Maybe that would be fantastic, because then, you know, get a quick heads up. For those who are actually watching the discussion board, they'll get it. But those who are not, sending an email with FB will be a nice reminder to them that, hey, you've got a game set up for the Sapphire Star 19 tournament that you need to complete. You know, it's all set up. We're going forward. Let's go. Boom. And that deadline's in 3 weeks. Obviously, if we can have people completed even quicker than the 3 weeks, that'd be fantastic. Because the faster the tournament runs, the faster we can get to the next Sapphire Star 20 tournament. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.